Well, good morning, Grace Bible Church. It's good to see you all. It's good to be here in the presence of the Lord, and it's just a blessing to be able to share God's Word with you. And what a passage we have this morning. We're continuing the series that Aaron began, and this morning it's such a rich, deep passage. But as I was preparing for it, I just really felt constrained by the Lord to limit what I want to say, because I want to say a lot, right? But I feel impressed to say what he wants to say, and to keep it very narrow. And so that's what I'm going to do. And what the Lord's impressed upon me as I've been preparing is this idea of unity. Unity. That to God, that's very important. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 1, not 12. Jumping ahead. 2 Corinthians 12, 1, 2 Corinthians, see, the Lord is at work, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 1, I'm used to saying 2 Corinthians 1, so I'm struggling with the second, but 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to read from verse 12. I don't know where it is in the Bible, but in that red Bible, but if you look at 2 Corinthians, you'll find it. So let's read. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you have read and acknowledge, and I hope you will fully acknowledge, just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. Because of this, because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and come back to you from Macedonia, and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us and who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I call on God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote to you as I did, so that when I come, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love I have for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd, that you are our Savior, You're the one who has brought us into new life. And Lord, we pray this morning as we hear your word, as we hear about this new life you've given to us, that you would stir our hearts. Holy Spirit, that you would make your God's words real to us and help us to understand and to apply them. Move upon us, Lord, we pray, by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how do you deal with disappointment? When you can't get what you want. When the only option before you is no. How do you deal with that? Do you accept it and just move on? Or do you head down the, what I call the division detour? A few weeks ago, as a family, we decided to go get takeout. And we spent way too long trying to figure out where we're going to go. But eventually we did. So we all showed up. We lined up to order what we wanted. And so I was at the back of the line. When I got to the girl, I said, hey, I would like this. I'm not going to tell you which restaurant it is, because I don't want you to boycott it. I said, I would like this. And she said, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have this. We're all out of it. And I thought, well, this is just ridiculous. I mean, how could you be a restaurant and be out of your signature dish? There's something wrong about that. And then I felt this annoyance rise up in me because all I wanted to eat was that thing. I didn't want anything else on the menu. And so I just became annoyed and annoyed. And I thought to myself, that's it. I'm done with this restaurant. I'm just going to cancel everyone's order and we're going home. But wisdom prevailed. And I just decided, you know what? I'm just not going to eat anything. You eat, they don't have what I want. I'm not eating. You see, it begins with desires, right? We desire something, right? We want something. But then we're disappointed because we can't get it, right? And then we find that we get annoyed. And then there's dissonance, right? What I call dissonance. And then the next step is, hey, well, I'm done. We're just going to divide. Desires, disappointment, dissonance, division. That's how it works, right? What do? When you hear no? And it's not just restaurants where this works out, right? Sometimes, very, very rarely, I have a disagreement with Julia. Extremely rarely. And it's normally because I want something from her. I want her to agree with me or give me something or whatever it is. But sometimes I don't get it. And so what happens? I'm disappointed. There's dissonance in our relationship. And sometimes I just think, well, I'm just going to leave you alone. Right? I'm going to go do what I want to do. You go do what you want to do. There's division. Now, thankfully, we're able to resolve our issues and come back together. But what about if it's someone outside your home? Someone at work? Someone at your club? Or if you're a young person, you play sports. What about if it's in church? What do we do? Do we find ourselves, when there's a no, when we don't get what we want, do we find ourselves heading down the division detour? You see, I'm not from America, but I could, and so I would say we live in a divided country, don't we? much more divided than it used to be. And I would suggest that some of that is down to a problem we have, that as a culture, it's really hard for us to say, to accept no. We're just used to options. We're used to yes. For example, complete this with me. The customer is always right, even when he is clearly
wrong.
If you change your mind about a purchase, what can you do? You just return it. I don't want it. I'm going to return it. Give me my money back. At BK, you have it your way. Now, those are great things. I really appreciate that about living here. But over time, it conditions us in a certain way, doesn't it? It conditions us to thinking that we could always get what we want. Until something like COVID-19 comes along. What a terrible time that was. And it completely burst our bubble, didn't it? All of a sudden, all the yeses, all the things we're accustomed to, all the things that are familiar to us became no. We struggled with that, didn't we? We became divided. States became divided. Cities became divided. Neighborhoods became divided. Friends became divided. And sadly, families became divided and are still struggling with division. It's hard to come to terms with no. Thankfully, though, the Christian churches in America harmoniously sailed through COVID-19. No issues at all. We were a shining light to the country around us as they observed the unity of the church. Unfortunately, no. Brothers and sisters, that should trouble us because it troubles God. See, we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ is characterized by unity, not division. We exemplify, we demonstrate unity, not division. And when we demonstrate unity, we magnify Jesus, don't we? We display his glory, his ability to draw us together and keep us together despite the challenges. When we display division, we minimize Christ. We diminish Christ. And as the body of Christ here at GBC, we want to make unity our priority, don't we? We want to be those who are united behind him and not divided. Because November's coming. Who knows what it's going to be like in December? But much more importantly than that, Jesus is coming. And we want to be found about his business when he comes, don't we? And so we must find a way through the noise and dissonance to avoid the division detour and find ourselves united in Christ. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. And if I could summarize our passage, it would be this. God's promises should encourage us towards rejoicing, not division. God's promises should encourage us towards rejoicing, not division. And when I say encouraging, I don't mean the, hey, you can do it. You can do it. Keep going. You can do it. It's not that encouraging. It's the encouraging that strengthens us, that fortifies us, that makes us inwardly strong and says, hey, we can do this, right? We can do this, right? You could answer. Yes. And so the first point I want to make is this, is that God has brought us together. God has brought us together. Here in our passage, there is a problem. There is dissonance. And we see some of it in verses 16 and 17. And Aaron's done a great job of describing the problems in Corinth. So I'm not going to spend time going over that. But there is a problem. There is a breakdown in relationship. And the Corinthians have withdrawn from Paul in relationship. But Paul is determined to ensure that this dissonance doesn't lead to division. And so he addresses them in verse 21. He says this, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ Jesus and has anointed us and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." What is Paul saying there? Well, he's saying this. Listen, salvation, this salvation we share is God's idea. It's he who came up with it. He is the one who figured out how to save his people. That in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, he already had a plan in place to save them. It was his idea. It wasn't our brilliance. It was his brilliance that came up with salvation. And he is the one who put us together. He is the one who gave us this relationship that we have with Christ. Yes, Timothy, Silvanus, and I came to you, and we preached to you. We shared the gospel with you. But listen, it wasn't our idea. It was God's. He is the one who brought us to you. And when we proclaimed the gospel to you, you got saved. But it wasn't us who saved you. It was God who saved you. This salvation is God's idea. It's God who opened your eyes and brought you into relationship with Christ, just as he has brought us into relationship with Christ. Paul uses the pronouns us, you, and we. I tried to count them all more than 40 times in our little passage. See, to him, being together, this relationship we have together with Christ is very important. And it's important because what we're talking about is God's family. We're not just people who come here on a Sunday and gather together because this is kind of what we like to do. We're here because God has brought us here and made us a part of his family. And in God's family, God's in charge, right? In verse 15 and 16, Paul says, "Listen, I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way. I wanted to do this." And the Corinthians wanted him to come, but it didn't work out. Why? Well, because God said no. He said, no, that's not going to happen. You're going to do something else. Disappointment. See, sometimes God changes our plans, doesn't he? He just changes them. I remember when Julia and I first moved to America, I needed to find a job, right? We're here in the States. She had a job, but I didn't have one. I need to find a job. And I got this amazing job offer. I could not believe it, where I was able to, I asked for my salary, and they said, yeah, we'll pay you that. And I thought, wow, America is a great place. They'll pay you whatever you want. And all I could think about was a house and a pool and cars and a great life. I mean, living in America. And so I went home, I told Julia, and we waited. And this company just kept postponing the start date. I mean, so I'm thinking, when am I going to start? When am I going to start? And then 5 months later, they withdrew the job offer. And I thought, oh, no, all my dreams, all my hopes shattered. God said no. Maybe this morning you were wrestling with something that God said no to. It's hard, isn't it? It was hard for me at the time because we're so used to getting what we want. But God hasn't put us together so that we can get what we want, has he? He's put us together so we can get what he wants. And together, when we're together, we have to learn in God's family that it's not my will that's supreme, but his will. Right? You see, what God wants is always better. Now, the very week that they withdrew their offer, I was approached by the pastor of our church who asked me if I would like to consider getting into pastoral ministry. That's the greatest decision of my life. See, God's way is always better. That's why I can stand before you this morning and proclaim his goodness. You see, God has not brought us together to frustrate us. He's brought us together because he's got better things in store for us. 1 year after the job offer was made, the company closed that division. If I had been employed there, guess what? A year later, I'd been out of work. God knows what's best for us and what he's doing. And he's brought us together to rejoice, not to divide. Secondly, God's promises should encourage us to grow into them. God's promises should encourage us to grow into them. You see, God has made promises to his people, hasn't he? Look in verse 20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. God has made promises to his people. And we've received those promises, right? We sing about them. Dwayne led us through in the prayer of some of God's promises. We experience his promises now, don't we? But we don't experience the fullness of them yet, right? They're far greater than our experience now. And the fullness of them will be revealed when Christ comes. And so when Paul talks about God has established you or us, he's not talking just about a one-time event that, you know, when you got saved, God established you. He is talking about that, but he's saying that this event continues, that God has established you and is establishing you in Christ Jesus. This is an ongoing activity in our lives. God is working in our lives to bring his promises to their fulfillment in Christ when he comes again. And that means that we have to grow together as God's family. We must grow together as God's family. And here at Grace Bible Church, we are growing as God's family, aren't we? Right? That's why we enjoy coming. That's why we enjoy participating. We are growing as God's family. But as we grow as God's family, we need God, don't we? I remember when my first child was born, I remember holding him, and I was just blown away by this little kid. Wow, he's mine. Not quite sure how he appeared, but he's here. And I just remember holding him thinking, man, he needs me. He's so vulnerable. He needs me. Well, occasionally he might need Julia. But really, he needs me. See, we all start like that, don't we? We all start as babes. We need God. We need our Father to watch over us, to keep us, to lead us. And as we grow, that continues to be the case, right? Sometimes we grow under God's careful hand, and we just don't know how it happens, right? I remember, you know, you feed Nick, and then you clean him. You feed Nick, and you clean him. And it just keeps going. And somehow, he just starts to grow. It's amazing. Right? Sometimes that just happens. That's how God watches over us at times. I remember when I became a Christian, before that I used to steal from stores. But when I became a Christian, I stopped. How did that happen? I don't know. I just stopped. I just knew it was wrong and I didn't do it. But there are other areas I still had to grow in, right? And it's the same with us. We need God. Sometimes God puts us in situations where he's the only one who can help us, right? Remember when, I'm doing the thing with Nick, and then suddenly he starts to cry a lot and scream, and nothing seems to calm him down. Does anyone know what's happening? He's teething. And I tell you, that's got to be one of the worst things ever. I mean, if I was the Lord, I would not have designed teeth to come in that way. It's got to be the worst experience, and there's nothing you can do. You can hold them and rock them, but you just have to leave them. Because until the teeth come in, he's going to be okay. He's going to be crying, right? And so God is at work, bringing the teeth through. Then all of a sudden the teeth come through and he's fine. God's done something amazing. See, sometimes God takes us through things, doesn't he? He says no to what we want and yes to what we don't want. And it's hard. Tough. And there's nothing anyone can do about it. It's just you and God. But if you persevere, if you trust him, if you accept his no, he does something amazing in your life because he's your loving Father. Sometimes he brings things our way where we just can't do it on our own. We need others around us to help. I remember when we got pregnant with Anna. Or Julie got pregnant, I didn't. But it was a shock because I had just been laid off from my job. And she got pregnant. And I was thinking, Lord, what are we going to do? We already have two. What are we going to do with a third? How are we going to make it? And a friend of mine came by, and I said, hey, man, guess what? And he said, hey, Trevor, don't be discouraged. Listen, God's not going to give you a child if he's not going to provide for it. And I thought, wow, what a blessing. And he stood with me through that whole season a good friend. He came alongside me and encouraged me, reminded me about God. See, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we need others. And that's the part we all play here at Grace Bible Church. See, God's going to send things our way that we're going to need each other to cope with, to get through. And we're not going to be able to help each other if we're divided about things. See, God's work is done in unity, not division. You see, God wants to work in us to fulfill his promises to us. And God has made some amazing promises, hasn't he? Throughout the Old Testament, God promises blessings on his people. He promises to give them a new heart. He promises to dwell with them. He promises to change them. He promises to make them holy. He promises them eternity. He promises them some amazing things. And they're not empty promises, are they? He's begun to fulfill them to us through the coming of Christ, and he's going to fulfill them completely when Christ returns. And until Christ returns, we are called to discover, to explore these great promises of God. And that's why we're here, or at least one of the reasons why we're here. God wants us together to discover the myriad and the glory of the promises he has made to us. Don't you want to discover what God stored up for us? Don't you want to get away from the humdrum of life and find out what it means to be a child of God? Not just a child of God who comes to church regularly, but who experiences the great love of God. That every day, wherever you are aware of God's great love for you. That you're aware of his care. That you understand your life is not made up of these daily routines that you keep doing and running out of time. But instead, your life is caught up with Christ and God. That you are participating somehow in his glory. That through you, that in you, he is working good. That one day that work is going to be done and you're going to be with him in glory. That he has power. That he is in control of this world. And that he calls you and I to participate in the things he's doing. Great things, glorious things. Don't you want some of that? Doesn't that stir your heart? Doesn't that want to draw you to him? That's the work we're called to do here. It may surprise us, but God's got great things for us as a church. I believe that. God is stirring some things in us. The Holy Spirit is moving in our church. There are things that people are getting excited about, interested in. As we do our classes downstairs in the Sunday school, see God moving. It's amazing to see what he's doing. But that's just the early stages. He's got more. Don't we want that? Do we want that? Do we want that? And so we must resolve together to pursue him and pursue his promises. I keep hearing stories from the DR. In a couple of months, our friends will be going back there. And some of the stories I hear are amazing. If you haven't heard them, you need to listen to them. But what God is doing in the DR. And I keep thinking to myself, well, Lord, why aren't you doing that here? Like, I would like some of that, right? Wouldn't you? Like, come on, Lord, what's wrong with here? Well, I think that's what God's about. As we explore his promises together. Let me ask you this. Whose promises are you listening to? Whose promises are you listening to? Are you listening to God's? Or are you listening to others? You see, the job makes promises, doesn't it? Wealth makes promises, doesn't it? Retirement makes promises, doesn't it? Politicians make promises, don't they? Young people, beauty makes promises, doesn't it? TikTok makes promises, doesn't it? Instagram, Snapchat, they all make promises. Taylor Swift makes promises, doesn't she? See, they're all making promises. Whose promises are you listening to? Whose promises are you caught up with? Is it the Lord's or is it someone else's? You see, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. Hey, if you have money, great. Praise the Lord. But the problem comes when those things become more important than God and his promises. That's when we begin to prioritize other things and we begin to fall into disagreements and division. And we start down the division detour. See, God calls us to unity, not division. And we're going to have problems, right? That's just life together. We're going to have dissonance. But what we must ensure is we don't end up with division. See, God's promises must encourage us towards rejoicing, not division. Because God's promises will result in rejoicing together. Look at verse 14. Just as you did partially acknowledge us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. You see, one day the clouds are going to part and Jesus is going to appear. His day will arrive. This world will not continue the way it is forever. The day of the Lord will come. And on that day, there will be great rejoicing. Listen, we're going to rejoice, marvel over God and his greatness. That when we see God, we will just be blown away. Not just for a moment, but for eternity. On that day, we're going to boast in God. On that day, we're going to boast in Jesus. And what a day of boasting it's going to be. For Jesus is worth it. All glory, isn't he? When we contemplate what he's done, we will rejoice over him. But not only Jesus and God, what does Paul say we're going to boast about? We're going to boast about each other. Do you see that? It says, you will boast of us, and we will boast of you. That means that as we work together in pursuing God's will and purpose here, we're going to be able to boast about each other. I'm going to be able to say, Ricky, I remember, look what you did. Look how you helped me. Sheldon, wow, that was so great. Look how God used you in my life, etc. I can't pick on everyone, okay? But you're going to boast about me. Hopefully you'll be able to say, Trevor, here's how you helped me. We're going to boast about each other. What a great day it's going to be. We're going to be boasting before the Lord, and the Lord's going to affirm us. What a great time that'll be. But notice something. We will be boasting about what we have done. No one will be boasting about what they haven't done. We will be boasting about what we have done. No one will be boasting about what they haven't done. See, God's promises call us all to action. It calls us to participate in His great work. It fortifies us and draws us towards a day when we rejoice together. And I want to be there. That's why I'm here. I want to participate with you in doing what God wants us to do here in Saturton. And I want you to participate with me. Amen? Ben, if you can come back up, and I'll pray. Lord, thank you for your great word. Thank you for your great salvation. Thank you that you call us to work with you and to participate with you as you work in us. Help us, Lord, to hear you. Help us, Lord, to see you. Help us, Lord, to receive whatever you send our way, whether it's a yes or a no. For we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.